The following audio is from the weekly message at Summit Church in the upstate of South Carolina. More information is available at summitupstate.org.
Maybe going at the morning a little different than normal, but part of that is because we really want to think well, not only about how to meet you where you are this morning, but also give you some space to allow the Word of God to kind of saturate through our worship this morning. And so let's pray. And then if you would allow, I just want to take a few minutes to kind of set up where we're heading this morning in the text of Scripture and really press in and allow us to think about some questions. I think the text that we'll be in this morning, along with the idea of where we're at in our Advent series, Kingdom Come, that we just listen and enjoy listening to what the Lord might have to say to us this morning. So pray with me if you would. Father God, we love you because you first loved us. Your love for us is so real and faithful and good. It's undeniable that you love unlike any other. And Lord, your faithfulness and your goodness and your love has actually gone so far that you have made a way of salvation for those of us who had no other way. Lord, our sin separated you us from you, and we had no way of returning, no possible way of cleaning ourselves up enough to be acceptable to you. But you made a way in and through your Son, Jesus Christ. And when we celebrate Advent, we celebrate his willingness and your willingness to come and rescue a people far from you. People, even as your enemies, you've made a way of salvation, a way of hope, and a way of life for us in Jesus Christ. And Lord, there is none like you in all the earth. And so today, as we consider what it means to live with expectation or anticipation in the reality of your kingdom, what is already established and what is yet to come, would you give us eyes to see, ears to hear, hearts to understand and believe in faith that you are exactly who you say you are. You're going to do exactly what you promised to do. And you've invited us to participate with great expectation. I just pray that you would meet us in that this morning. We admit we bring a lot of things into moments like this. We carry them in with us in our hearts and in our minds. Sometimes distractions, sometimes very focused, sometimes little expectations, sometimes great expectation. Our prayer today is that we would submit ourselves to you, to see you and behold you and enjoy you and live with expectation because of you. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles, will you just open with me briefly to Acts chapter 1? Last weekend, Kyle Caton was here. He's one of our Spartanburg congregational pastors, and he started off our series in this Advent season and posed the question about whether or not we believe or understand what it means that the kingdom of God is here now. And as we think about this series and these few weeks we get in the midst of this kind of a season, which naturally, as we alluded to earlier, builds a sense of expectation, builds a sense of desire for what is to come, I think this hope and prayer is that the Lord would use pieces of this remarkable story throughout the book of Acts, of his power and his presence among his people, to reshape in our hearts an ever-increasing sense of expectation that God actually wants to demonstrate his power and his presence in our lives and through our lives in the world where he has sovereignly put us. On a regular basis, that we might actually expect God would show up. In Acts chapter 1, you know this story well. Many of you know this story well, but it is said here in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, Jesus says to his disciples, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." You will receive power. Now, naturally, we would go to Acts chapter 2 this morning and see the Spirit of God coming, but we're not natural. So you're going to look at that next week and go, "Well, why are you doing this?" Well, we could explain that a whole nother time. We're going to jump to Acts chapter 3 this morning on purpose as well. But before we do, I want us to just take a moment and actually consider something that is very natural for us. Anticipation or expectation. We live with them all the time, right? I mean, one of the things we do in premarital counseling is we try to address the fact that you have two people coming into a new union together, and you go, just in case you don't know this, we're going to talk about it. You both are bringing expectations into this marriage. Let's talk about what those are. Let's just get them out there in the open so they don't surprise you. But everybody knows what it's like to have a sense of great anticipation in your life. So it might be a wedding, or it might be the birth or adoption of a child, or it might be a job interview or promotion or graduation from school. It could be a litany of things, a whole list of different things. But the reality is, you and I both know the feeling we get, the experience of life, the belief and the trust when we're holding out anticipation or expectation for something, particularly something good, particularly something we've wanted, that we are waiting for. You know that, right? I mean, take just 5 seconds and consider the last time you felt in your life and experienced in your life anticipation for something really good. I think all of us know what we would say theologically about life in the kingdom of God. We could answer a lot of questions pretty accurately. I think many of us would celebrate the power of God and answer a lot of questions theologically from the Bible accurately about God's great power. And we'll sing songs about it. And we encourage, rightly, by the way, rightly encourage each other with what we know about the power of God. But I think Advent and the book of Acts and the kindness of the Lord ask us at least to consider, do we live experientially with any real expectancy that God would demonstrate the glory and power of his kingdom right here and now in and through our lives? Is it a defining reality for us as we navigate life in this world that we actually believe God's power is gonna show up in and through our lives for his sake? Do we anticipate each new day might actually be an opportunity to partake in the divine and abundant life of the Father and the Son and the Spirit that we have been invited into? And that's what Peter says. You and I, because we are in Christ by faith, are partakers of the divine life. Do we live with any sense of genuine belief that God might want to answer the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven? And if not, rather than sit here this morning and feel ashamed or guilty or beat ourselves up about how little expectation we might tend to live with, or think that maybe, just maybe, God's up there shaking his head in disappointment, what if even today you and I considered that appropriately in this Advent season, God wanted to renew our faith, grow our joy, increase our anticipation, and lead us to live with prayerful expectancy that he is going to demonstrate continually his power and his glory in his kingdom in and through us, so that the world might know that he is Lord, the one and only, and that his kingdom has come and will in fact be established forever and ever and ever. I think that actually is what he's inviting you and I to consider, even as we worship this morning, even as we speak to each other this morning, even as we pray together this morning, even as we sing together this morning, even as we have conversations outside of this place, even as we walk back into the world of the next few weeks, which are gonna have their own kinds of chaos, right? And there's gonna be all kinds of things on the agendas to get done, and there's gonna be all kinds of people we interact with getting those agendas checked off. And there's going to be all kinds of necessary but also appropriate moments to build some anticipation for Christmas, for the celebration of the King who came willingly to live his life for our sake, to die the death we should have died, and to promise and offer eternal life that we could have never achieved on our own. What if today, God said, I want you to start living with a renewed sense of expectation that I'm not done yet. Let's just consider that for a moment before we continue in worship. Father, help us to hear you, to listen to you. Show us some of the places and the ways in which we live with such little expectation. Not because you desire that we feel some sense of condemnation or guilt or shame about that, but because you, as a loving Father, have invited us to so much more. Lord, push against the ways in which we are prone to live for good things, or even to settle for things that are true and good and right, but just far less than you have invited us to experience. Lord, I don't know what it is for some in this room. It's a prayer request they've prayed for years on end that it just doesn't seem you're going to answer. It's a sin they've battled that they have pleaded and begged and asked that you would give freedom, and it feels like it's just never going to loosen its grip. It's a season of weight and discouragement and sadness and depression that feels like it's never going to lift. It's relationships that are strained and broken and frustrated by the nature of sin, and it just feels like they'll never be repaired. It's sickness that feels like it's gonna get the last word. It's financial stress and discouragement that seems like no matter the steps you take, it just keeps piling on. It's all the little ways where, in a subtle fashion over time, clicking on one after the other, they just add up to the point where sometimes the craftiness of the enemy says, and we believe, you're done. Oh, you're not ultimately done. We still hold out some hope for what is ahead, but we live with the sense that we just have to wait because you're done for now. Lord, would you press that out? Would you shove the enemy's lies out of the hearts and minds of people here? Would you empower, demonstrate your faithfulness and your goodness despite all of the gaps and weaknesses and flaws and disbelief and distrust that we possess? And would you continue to remind us? Would you even show us? Would you reveal to us that you are the God who reigns over all? Your kingdom has been established. It will come to fruition forever and forever. And even now, as we are a people waiting in the in-between, you have invited us to pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You have invited us to pray, thy kingdom come. You have invited us to pray, Lord, with expectation that you might show your power so that people would see you and believe in you. Oh God, renew our belief that that's who you are. And meet us as we continue to cry out and listen to you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd love for you to consider for just a few moments right where you are. And if you'd be willing, go ahead and just bow your head, not because it's super spiritual, but just to eliminate some distraction in the room. And just allow your heart and mind to consider this question. Where do I struggle to believe that God still wants to demonstrate his power in and through my life? Where am I wrestling to have faith that God actually wants to show his power in and through my life for his glory so that people will know he is the Lord Almighty? Think about that area of your life, that space in your life that is just so difficult to continue to hold on to belief and faith that God's power is going to win the day. And consider this. He has assured you with an inheritance that will never spoil or fade, kept in heaven for you, incapable of being corrupted, that he will do it. Imagine the day that you step into his presence in eternity, beaming with joy, absent of sin, wholly made new. The God who has promised in power to bring that to completion is indwelling you in his Holy Spirit and saying to you and to me even this morning, child, I'm already working on that in you. My power is already alive and well and residing in you. Live expecting it. Live believing it. Live anticipating it. Live telling them about me. Let's just sing that bridge and chorus one more time while we're seated, where we're at, as a profession of what is to come, but also a profession of faith, a renewed faith that it is true even now in Christ Jesus. If you have your Bibles, you can open with me to Acts chapter 3. And as you turn there, let's pray together. Father God, you are so great and wonderful and powerful. Help us to listen to your Spirit through your word and be transformed by it, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Acts chapter 3, if you will bear with me, I'm going to read the whole story to you. Now, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a man, lame from birth, was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple that is called Beautiful Gate, to ask alms of those entering the temple. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms. And Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I have no silver and gold, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. And leaping up, he stood and began to walk and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God and recognized him as the one who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple asking for alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. And while he clung to Peter and John, all the people, utterly astounded, ran together to them in the portico called Solomon's. And when Peter saw it, he addressed the people, "Men of Israel, Why do you wonder at this? Or why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety we have made him walk? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered over and denied in the presence of Pilate when he had decided to release him. But you denied the holy and righteous one and asked for a murderer to be granted to you, and you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses, and his name, by faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. And the faith that is through Jesus has given the man this perfect health in the presence of you all. And now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets, that his Christ would suffer, he thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time for restoring all things about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets long ago. Moses said, the Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers. You shall listen to him in whatever he tells you, and it shall be that every soul who does not listen to that prophet shall be destroyed from the people. And all the prophets who have spoken, from Samuel to those that came after him, also proclaim these days, you are the sons of the prophets of the covenant that God made with your father, saying to Abraham, and in your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. God, having raised up his servant, sent him to you first to bless you by turning every one of you from your wickedness. This is the word of the Lord. There is so much here in Acts 3. But just think about these things together in light of our morning this morning. Peter and John heal a man. Then they act in dependence upon the Spirit of God to speak through them before the council that has gathered. The church has already begun to pray for boldness in the proclamation of the good news of the gospel, and the Spirit of God has come upon them in power so that they might declare and be witnesses to Jesus Christ in every place God is going to take them. Everything about what is happening in Acts chapter 3, it presses a little, at least, right, against this sense that we often live our lives in a way that is marked by the mundane kind of acceptance of just the status quo of life. Life's hard, life's heavy, life's busy, life's fast, life's in a hurry, life sometimes lets you down. Life, that's how we live life, because life is all those things. But this presses into that a little bit and says, but what of a Spirit-empowered life of hope and generosity and gospel intentionality that points to the eternal kingdom of God, which we actually already belong? It at least invites us to ask, what would it look like to approach these next several weeks of Advent with anticipation that the Spirit of God might have something to say, not just to us, absolutely, but also through us? What might it look like to start to pray expectantly, to listen attentively, and to act with Spirit-empowered courage wherever God has placed you? We all have certain things that start to just kind of regularly become rhythms of life and traditions of life this time of year, and everybody's got their own. Some are very fun, some are very weird. That's just true for all of us, right? And it's the best ones are the ones that we think are natural and awesome, and everybody else is like, that's weird. Those are the best kinds. I remember a lady at Summit, Simpsonville, years ago. She was sharing a story with us that when she was in college, she got sick one time, and her roommate went out and bought her some NyQuil and brought it back and gave it to her. And so she, you know, poured it in that cup and said, here you go. And the lady that was going to Summit took it and did this. And then she drank it, and she looked at her roommate and said, oh, doesn't it just remind you of Christmas? And her roommate was like, not really. Never thought about Christmas when NyQuil, actually. And she goes, really? Didn't think much of it. And then a few days later, was talking to her mom on the phone. She's in college, so she's talking to her mom on the phone, told her she was sick, that her roommate was really kind, got her some NyQuil. And she said, I told her it reminds me of Christmas. And that made no sense to her. And her mom starts kind of chuckling. And she says, oh, Chrissy, I never told you this, but like from the age of, you know, 2 or 3 till probably the age of like 13, we gave you NyQuil on Christmas Eve every night, every Christmas Eve. Just acted like it was, oh, you got to take this, it's good for you. Family traditions, you know. But there is a sense. We don't prescribe it. I'm just sharing a story. Acts is not prescriptive, it's descriptive. It all circles back. But I say that because we all have some sense of real kind of things that get rhythmic and traditional. And so we watch the same movies every year or you know, and some in my growing up years, it was like at my dad's parents, at my grandparents' house that we went to every Christmas Eve. There was a Christmas Eve thing at church. And then we went there and ate different kinds of snacks and food and stuff. And then you could open one gift on Christmas Eve from my grandparents. It was like this tradition, right? So there's things like that. There's the movie The Christmas Carol, where the supernatural invades the natural world and it leaves an undeniable mark on the life of Ebenezer Scrooge. And we feel this time of year what the world calls like the magical season of Christmas, but what we know and recognize is that it actually speaks to the present power of an unseen but completely sovereign God. And we feel that because there's some natural things that actually start to draw your attention to it, even for all of us, if we're honest. And we try so hard, like we're not trying to build it on those traditions and we're not trying to build the whole thing around that. And, you know, every parent has wrestled with how they're going to make sure everything they do points toward what Christmas is really about. Okay, everybody gets it. And you all land in different places. It's fine. The question I'm trying to draw out that I think the season invites us to draw out and Acts 3 explicitly invites us to draw out is, do you and I live with any real expectation that God's going forward and building his kingdom and he's gonna rule and reign forever and he's already ruling and reigning and an expectancy that he's doing that right now? And then he wants to use you in that. And there's more here that we're going to unpack because right here you get this powerful, miraculous thing. And I want to lean into that for just a second because I don't want us to just pass over it. It's real easy to be like, oh man, that was amazing. And then just move on. So I want us to live in that for a second, this sense of expectation, because I think it's a powerful one. They've just witnessed the Spirit falling in a remarkable and powerful way. But when the lame beggar asked Peter and John for alms, they just tell the man to walk in the name of Jesus. And when they do that, the crowd is astonished. And you can almost picture at least that Peter kind of shrugs, like, and then he says, men of Israel, why do you wonder at this? Why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety we have made him walk? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers glorified his servant Jesus, whom you deliver over and denied in the presence of Pilate when he decided to release him. But you denied the holy and righteous one and asked for a murderer to be granted to you, and you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses. And listen, verse 16, and his name, Jesus, by faith in his name has made this man strong whom you see and know. And the faith that is through Jesus has given the man this perfect health in the presence of you all. I feel as though you could rightly interpret that Peter looks back at the crowd when they pose the question in astonishment as they see this man, and he simply implies in his response, "What else did you expect?" Or perhaps, "Why didn't you expect that?" Because maybe you're not fixing your eyes on the author of life. Maybe you haven't yielded yourself to the God and author of all things, whose name has the power to do great and mighty work. I just think that perhaps the emphasis here is important. The emphasis in all of Acts 3 is actually on Jesus. Think about that. Peter points to Jesus as the one who was responsible for the man's healing. Jesus, the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. Jesus is the one foretold by God through the mouth of the prophets. And Jesus, the one who has ascended into heaven and will one day return. And I think that's the only way that we can clearly link this passage into the beauty of this present Advent season here and now. That we are celebrating the birth of Christ in the flesh. We are anticipating the return of Christ from heaven. And this passage speaks of the power of the resurrected, ascended Christ on full display. And I don't know if Acts is in a sense trying to invite you to go do that. Like, just walk around and everyone you see, in the name of Jesus, tell them to get up and walk. I don't think that's what's happening here. I don't. So here comes this tension of the season of life that we're already living in, but I think we err on one side. I think that our tendency is to err on the side of that big, miraculous, powerful Jesus moment is amazing and was a part of God's growth and expansion of the early church so that people might see and know and understand who Jesus is and respond in repentance and faith. And it's just applaudable. It's unbelievable. It's remarkable. It encourages, inspires me. But I don't think that's actually what God's got. I mean, he's not going to do that in my life. I'm not walking in downtown Greenville and doing any of this stuff. And I think you and I have to sit a little with the tension of how quickly we run to that. Now, we've seen abuses of all kinds of things, right? Abuses of spiritual gifts, abuses of people who talk about faith and healing and prayer. And we've talked about that as we've gone through the Gospel of Mark. I don't want the abuses of something God has done in Scripture to make us completely deny their existence at all when God says this is a part of the kingdom reality that he's bringing to bear on this earth. And I think we wrestle to actually believe God still does powerful, miraculous, amazing, compelling things so that people might see who he is and respond in repentance and faith. I think we have a tendency to try to pray the whole gamut. Oh, there's somebody that's really sick? Let's pray. God, heal them. But if you don't, we understand you're great, so maybe you won't. And then if you don't, then we want. And I'm not dodging the fact that there's a real trust that if God heals someone, it's worth praising. And if God chooses not to heal someone, we actually believe he's sovereign. We do. I just believe there's at least an examining question that gets raised as we walk through the text of Scripture on whether or not we actually believe God wants to continue to demonstrate his power in people's lives. And when we pray, that we're going to actually say, Lord, help, teach me what to pray. Let me listen to you. Let me understand what you mean when you say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Would you teach me to pray for what you want so that I can pray with confidence for what you want? Would you teach me to listen to you so that when I pray, I am listening and praying and asking for what you want? I can demonstrate what I think I see here in the book of Acts, which is I think Jesus' followers were just living life like they observed Jesus living life. I think they listened to the Father through the Spirit, believing and understanding the Scriptures, and walked through life and said, Father, you tell us, what do you want to do? And we'll do it. and they believed he could and would. And that Jesus would be seen, Jesus would get the glory, the emphasis would be on Jesus, and if it ever got deflected to them, they'd turn it to Jesus, like they do right here. So on one hand, I want to invite you, do you actually believe God still does powerful, miraculous things to expand his kingdom and his glory and invite people to see and believe in Jesus Christ, that Jesus is in fact the Lord? And on the other hand, I want us to understand something. It is still miraculous that Jesus brings people far from God, enslaved in sin, to new life by faith and repentance. It is still miraculous when God takes the mundane pieces of my life and yours and opens our eyes and our hearts to actually see that he's doing big kingdom things in everyday little moments of life. It is still miraculous when God says, through the kindness of his Spirit and through our feeble attempts to participate with his divine life, by opening the word and disciplining ourselves to walk in obedience to him and praying and spending time in community with others, it is actually still miraculous that God says, in the everydayness of your life, if you will open your eyes and your heart, if you will be attentive to me, if you will listen to me, even through the days and weeks and months where you just go to work or you go to school or you go to the store or you tuck your kids in at night, you just keep filling in the blanks. Because I'm talking about the everyday stuff. That God's like, I actually invite you to wake up in the morning and expect, I'm going with you. I'm going in you. I'm moving through you. I have something to say to you. I have something to do in you. I have something to say through you. I have something to do through you. Talk to me. Listen to me. Spend time with me. Expect me. Expect me when you go into the grocery store. What do you mean? I'm here to buy milk. Yeah, but what if? What if buying milk's the second reason you're going into the grocery store? Well, that's ridiculous. Is it? Do you remember how the disciples asked Jesus to teach them to pray? We go, oh, yeah, I could, most of you could pray that in your sleep. I think when they say, teach us to pray, and Jesus goes, when you pray, there's a few things in the language and in the context of Jesus saying that that it'd be good for us to remember in light of this principle and this question. I think when Jesus says, when you pray, it's the, hey, when you pray, which is the custom for you to do, at least 3 times a day. Right? Morning, noon, evening, morning, midday, afternoon, however you break down when the Israelites would pray. I think Jesus was saying, hey, when you pray, which is repeatedly, pray like this. And I don't think he meant necessarily, hey, pray something like this, just, you know, in the ballpark. No, when you pray, pray like this. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I think he expected that the disciples would learn to pray when they wake up in the morning that the kingdom of God would come and that God would demonstrate his power and he would work his perfect will in and through them. I think when they stopped to pray midday, they were asking again, God, do you want to keep doing it? Let's keep doing it. You keep bringing kingdom in me and through me. You keep accomplishing your will in me and through me. And guess what? Later in the day, you know what they were praying? Guess what they were praying? Your will be done. Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Would you bring that reality and this reality more and more and more together until the day it's completed? And would you do it through us? Yes, give us our daily bread. Give us everything we absolutely need. Yes, Lord, forgive us our sins and our trespasses as we forgive those who sin and trespass against us. Yes, lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, right? The power, the glory, it all belongs to you. You go, practically, how might I live with a sense of genuine expectation? Not just in the miraculous, not just in the moments where I might actually ask for something big and bold in Jesus' name. Absolutely then. Even opening up a category to have expectation there would be a first step for a lot of us. But also in the everyday seasons of life, to believe that when Peter and John speak of Jesus, they are speaking of the same one who is seated at the right hand of the Father right now, who will return. And they are inviting even you and I to live like we believed it, to live like we expect it, to live like we anticipate seeing more and more of it even now, and to ask God to do it. I'm going to ask Coleman and the others to come back up, and we're going to continue to respond in worship about the power and greatness of our God and the glory of God and the beauty of the kingdom of God and our participation in it. I think about some of the things we were talking about as we prayed earlier that some of us have a hard time believing God for. That he might show up and bring freedom or deliverance or healing or power or meet needs. Like we bring them to him, but stack of life, right? The stack of life just kind of over time, sometimes it starts to diminish a sense of expectation when we actually pray and speak with the Father. I think the Father's very understanding of that and very gracious in that, right? I mean, you ask and ask and ask and you plod and you persist because you've been invited to do so as a beloved child. And there are times where you just keep getting no or wait. And really, if we're all honest, the stack. It's the stack over time that sometimes, slowly but surely, maybe in our own hearts, maybe because of the deceptive nature of the enemy, he just comes and creeps along and says, he's not listening. He doesn't care. He doesn't have the power to do that. He ain't gonna do that for you. He might do it for somebody else, but he's not doing it for you. Whatever those lies are, they just creep and linger. If anything, Acts chapter 3, when Peter and John are doing something profound in a moment to expand and extend God's kingdom in a moment, empowered by the Spirit in that moment, I think we're also invited to go, well, that was a unique moment in time in history, but so is this. And it's the same God and the same power working the same glory, building the same kingdom through people he still calls his own. So maybe you're here this morning, you got to open up categories for God to do miraculous, powerful, Spirit-only, supernatural kinds of things so that you might declare the glory of God and people will see and understand and believe in Jesus. Or sometimes for many of us, it's also maybe just the invitation to be here this morning and go, do I actually believe that when I wake up in the morning and my feet hit the ground, God wants to show his power in and through my life? Do I expect it? Do I ask for it? Do I pray for it? Do I believe it? Do I have any sense of it? I think Peter and John are going, come on. This isn't about us. Father God, we love you because you first loved us. We believe in your power because it's real. We believe we're invited to live with expectancy because you have invited us to do so. I don't know what it is for everybody else in this room, but I know the things that flood my heart and mine immediately when I start to consider, what do I wrestle to give to you and believe that your power will show up, that your glory would show up, that I could brag on you and be a witness to Jesus Christ because of you? Where am I settling with life without expectancy? Where do I need the kind and gentle reminder that even though life stacks up, you've invited me to pray, thy will be done, thy kingdom come, on earth as it is in heaven.
Thank you for joining for this week's message. Summit Upstate's mission is to give every man, woman, and child the repeated opportunities to see, hear, and respond to the gospel. We'd love to connect with you, so we invite you to reach out to us at summitupstate.org.